22 tonight. Let's start reading. Let's just start reading back in verse number 1. The Bible says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. In the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. Let's pray. Father, we do love you. Thank you so much for loving us. Lord, we thank you for these people that have come to hear your word. I pray now tonight you would anoint this service. I pray, God, you would cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self. And Lord, be with my stammering lips of clay. God, help me to say nothing that does not need to be said, but everything that does. When it's all said and done, we'll be sure to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory that's due only your holy name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in Psalms chapter number 22, very, very familiar Psalms. You've been in church any amount of time. And what we have is a prophetic cry of Calvary. The psalmist cries out here in a messianic psalm recorded also in the New Testament. And he cries out, as he cries out, he's describing a horrible scene and awful circumstances of what happened that somber day when Jesus hung there on the cross. But I want to draw your attention tonight to something that he says in verse number 16. In his description, he proclaims in verse number 16, watch it, they pierced my hands and my feet. He said, they pierced my hands and my feet. Now, very clearly, this is a prophetic account of Calvary. The things that happened there, I want you to understand that his listed here did not happen to David. They only happened to the Lord Jesus. In fact, if you'll notice with me, verse number 18, the Bible says there, they parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. We know there's no doubt what's being spoken of here is Calvary. The things that happened here did not happen to David. They only happened to the Lord Jesus. And so very clearly, the Lord Jesus talks about there, he says, they pierced my hands and my feet. And so I want you to notice now with me, turn with me to Zechariah chapter number 13. Very clearly we see that at the beginning when Jesus came into the world, one of the things that happened at Calvary, his first coming, is they pierced his hands and his feet. If you'll go with me to Zechariah, look with me in chapter 13. I want you to look with me at verse number 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. I want you to understand here, when we come to Zechariah chapter number 13, we're dealing with the last days. We're dealing with that time period after Jesus Christ comes a second time and he's coming to set up his earthly kingdom and that many millennial reign days and the end times. That's what we're dealing with here. And what we find here when we read verse number 6 is that those wounds that he got all the way back there at Calvary are still in his hands when he comes again. The wounds, my friend, are still there. The first time he came, they crucified him and they pierced his hands and his feet. And here, as we see at his second coming, the Bible says the nail prints are still there, to the point one will ask him, "What are these wounds in thine hands?" And Jesus will answer them, "These are those where I was wounded in the house of my friends." I want to preach for the next 4 or 5 hours, if I can, on this thought: the wounded hands of Jesus. The wounded hands of Jesus. I'll never forget one day as I was over Brother Earl's house. If you remember Earl and Sandra, we loved them and missed them. But I was over his house one day, and we was working on a project, and I was singing the song. I was helping him out, you know, helping him work better. I was singing the song, and he was appreciating it too. "I shall know him. I shall know him." Let me sing it for you. "By the prints of the nails in his hands." And he looked at me and he asked me this question. He said, "Hey, preacher," he said, "do you believe that those wounds are still in the hands of Jesus?" And I said, "Brother Earl, I know they are. They most certainly are, because the Bible says that those wounds are still there." I want you to understand, the scars of Jesus are still on his glorified body there in heaven. And when he comes again, he'll have those scars with him on his hands, and they'll be there for all eternity. I want you to understand that the only man-made thing in heaven is those scars that are in the hands of the Lord Jesus. And they were made by you and by me. The fact that the Bible tells us that those scars, those wounds, are still in the hands of the Lord Jesus, that tells me that they must be there for some good reason. God chose to raise up Jesus, think about it, in his glorified body with the print still there. Do you understand? God could have easily filled those holes. God could have easily fixed those scars. God could have easily patched that skin. There's a reason. There's a significance. Oh, there's a purpose. There's something behind Jesus having those nail prints still in his hands. So why are the prints still there? When we get a glorified body, but we expect it to be without holes, amen? We expect it to be without scars. We expect it to be without impurities and infirmities and all of those things. So there must be some significance about these nail prints. As I begin to look at this and think about this, there are several things I want to point out to you that are significant about these prints that are still in the hands of Jesus. First of all, notice, they mark his identity. They mark his identity. I'd like for you to, if you like to hold your place, you can, but go with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Those prints that are in his hands, what's the purpose for? Well, number one, they mark his identity. Look with me, you know the story here. Jesus has risen from the dead, and his disciples are there in the upper room. They're scared, they're afraid, they're alone. And they think Jesus is gone. In verse number 19, notice it. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Who in here knows that in a case of a missing persons, when they're trying to identify the body, one of the best clues or some of the best evidence that you could ever get is a certain scar or a particular birthmark or something, a marking on their body, some special marking on their body, maybe a tattoo, something like that. But through that, they can oftentimes make a positive identification. When they find a body of a family and they come to identify the body, maybe they found the body and they say, "Look, do you believe this is the family? And maybe this is the person that you've been looking for." And when they come to identify the body, many times when they open the door and they pull back the curtain and unzip the bag, the reason and how they know, maybe their face has been dismembered, but buddy, they see a certain mark and they know that that's mama, that's daddy, that's my brother, that's my sister, whoever. They can be certain because of a mark that they bear. That's him. I know his mark. And here are the disciples, think about it, in the upper room. They have the doors shut for fear of the Jews. They're afraid that they might be persecuted. They're afraid that they might be coming for them next to crucify them. Their master is gone. Their teacher is gone. Their mentor is gone. Their Messiah is gone. Their hope is gone from ever being delivered by Him. They had seen, last time they had seen the Lord Jesus, He was placed in a borrowed tomb. Here they are alone. Here they are afraid. Here these disciples are in the upper room and they're vulnerable. They feel empty inside. And all of a sudden, the Bible tells us that Jesus stood up in the midst. And when He saw how afraid they were, He said to them, "Peace be unto you." He wanted, you see, to calm their fears as fast as He could. He wanted them to know who He is. He wanted to clear their doubt. He wanted to cause them to know with positive identification who it was that was speaking to them and who He was. And I want you to understand, watch this now. He did not say when He wanted to identify Himself, "Listen to my voice." He did not say, "Look at my face." He didn't tell them to check out His hair. Oh, listen, friend. But when Jesus wanted to identify who He was to His disciples, you know what He said? "Look at my hands. You see the scars." It marks His identity. "Look at my wounds. I'm the same one that was on the cross. I'm the same one they laid in the tomb. I'm the same one that's been gone for 3 days. And if you want positive identification of who I am, just look at the nail prints in my hand." Oh, friend, it's better than personal ID. It's better than a driver's license. It's better than a birth certificate, a social security card. It's better than a blood sample. If you want to know here, just look at the wounds in the scars in my hands. And notice here, I love it. The Bible says, "Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Can you imagine this? Can you imagine when they finally knew for certain that it was Him? When they finally seen, and they were looked at the nail prints in His hand, and after they had seen those identifying marks, and man, they had been in hiding, they had been afraid, after all they had went through over the last several days with the fear and the tears and then the remorse of thinking that He was gone and was not who He told them He was. Those hours of watching Him die from afar off. The things that they had endured from simply following Him and from being a Christian and just walking with Him. He was their hope. He was their master. He was their friend. Oh, listen, and they thought He was gone, and now here He stands and He's been positively identified, and they were glad, the Bible says. Can you imagine their rejoicing and how happy they were? Aren't you glad tonight, friend? Thank God there's coming a day that after all the toils of this life, after everything that we face by following Him and by serving Him and by being a Christian, after the ridicule that we hear and all the opposition that we succumb to from a world who rejects Jesus, after all the time of believing what He said to us, believing what we've never seen, all that time where it's been nothing but faith and not sight, and believing that He suffered for me, yet I've never seen Him suffered, believing that He sacrificed for me, yet I've never seen His sacrifice, believing that He died for me, yet I never seen His crucifixion. But praise God, there's coming a day when I'll see the nail prints in His hand, and His service will be confirmed, and His sacrifice will be confirmed, and His suffering will be confirmed, and He'll say, "Look at the prints of the nails in my hands." Oh yes, it marks His identity. We'll look and say, "That's Him. That's Him. That's my Redeemer. That's my Savior. That's my Justifier." And finally, our faith will be made sight. "And I shall know Him. I shall know Him. And redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him. I shall know Him." How? "By the prints of the nails in His hands." And it'll be worth it all then. Amen. All the suffering, all we think we've endured, all we went through, when our faith is made sight, buddy, when we realize that's Him, it'll be worth it all. You and I as disciples will look on Him and be glad. I want you to notice, there's another crowd who will see His nail prints and they won't be so glad, but instead they'll be sad. Look with me back in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter number 12. I want you to look with me, chapter 12 of Zechariah, at verse number 10. The Lord says here, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace," of course, in time still, "and of supplications." Watch this. "And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." Notice what he goes on to say. "They shall mourn for me," for him, "as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." So they'll look upon him whom they have pierced. And they look upon him. The Bible says they'll mourn when they see the nail prints of the resurrected Christ. You want to know something? It marks his identity. They'll know, man, that's him. He is the true Messiah. And they'll realize for the first time ever they've rejected the only Messiah. They've crucified their Savior. They've turned their back on the one who died for them. And they'll long for him, realizing that he was the one who came to save their wretched soul. The Bible says they'll mourn. Oh, listen, when he pours out his spirit on the remnant, their eyes will be opened, and then they'll look at him, on him whom they have pierced. You say, "Preacher, that's good, but that's only talking about God's chosen people, Israel, there, that they'll be in mourning." Now, wait a minute. He says they will look upon him whom they have pierced. My Bible tells me it was Roman soldiers, Gentiles, that nailed the Lord Jesus to the cross. They will look upon him whom they have pierced. Oh, yes, the Jews condemned him, but the Gentiles crucified him. It's not only talking about Israel, it's talking about the whole world. Revelation 1:7, the Bible says this, "Behold, he cometh with clouds," speaking of his second coming, "and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him." Once you understand, when the rapture takes place, the Bible's clear that only those who are looking for him, only you and I who have the blessed hope, only us who have been saved by the grace of God will see him as he comes in the clouds. Oh, but the Bible's clear again that when he comes the second time and we come with him, the first time he's coming for his saints, the second time he's coming with his saints, and when he comes that second time, the whole entire world will witness it, will see him. "And they also which pierced him." Imagine the fear that'll swell in their hearts when they see him and they realize that they've crucified the Lord in glory. It goes on, in Revelation 1:7, it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." There'll be people out of every kindred, every nation, every tongue, if you will, that have rejected him. I want you to understand something. There's a whole world of people tonight, right now, who's having their way, whose lifestyle tramples on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But one day they'll look back on whom they pierced, and they'll know they were wrong. They'll know they were foolish. They'll know they were selfish. And they'll know that, listen, the God of this world had blinded them and blinded their minds. And they'll mourn and they'll wail in their bitter end because they've crucified the Lord of glory. What's the significance of the nail print's hands? Number one, it marks his identity. I want you to notice the second thing with me tonight. Another significant thing. Man, I love this. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter number 49. I want you to look with me at verse number 15 and 16 of Isaiah 49. Look what your Bible says here. God's asking the question, "Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion? Would she quit loving him?" The point, she forgets him, other words, on the son of her womb. "Yea, they may forget," watch this, "yet will I not forget." Why, God, how can you not forget? Verse 16, man, I love it. "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." What are those nail prints for? Secondly, they're a memorial of his love. They're a memorial of His love. Not only do they mark His identity, but thank God, He said He's engraving them. He asked the question, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion, that she should not have love? He said, but I tell you what, she might forget, but let me say this, I'll never forget. And you'll know how I'll never forget? Oh, because I've written your name on the palms of my hands. Thank God, aren't you glad that each and every one of us who have partaken of His broken body, every one of us been saved by the grace of God, right there in the nail prints of His hand is Danny Dixon. Right there is Arvel Buck. Right there is Brother Rick Roller. And every one of us been saved by the grace of God. Our names have been engraven in the palms of His hands. He can't forget. And when He does think about forgetting, you know what He does? He looks at those nail prints in His hands and He says, this is what I've done for you. Our names have been written on the palms, engraven. Other words, watch this. There's a mark there. There's a print there. There's something there. Oh, as we went out this morning, Joel singing, He knew me, yet He loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. So unworthy of such mercy. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Listen, friend, we've been engraven in the palms of His hand. Once again here, He's not speaking to the nation of Israel or only the Jews, but He's speaking to all the children. Verse number 6, and He said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Oh, friend, listen, it's not just something for the Jews. It's not just something for His chosen people. Thank God it's for every single child of God here tonight that you and I, He tells us, and we've been given the promise and the truth of the fact that we've been engraven on the palms of His hands. You think about somebody you love the most. I heard a story about Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson was a great basketball player. When he joined the NBA, he came in and he only had one tattoo. By his third year there in the NBA, he had seven. The sports writers begin to talk and begin to ridicule him and to begin to criticize him about it. Listen to what he said to them. He said, I have things on my body that it just marks to other people. But they meant a lot to me about my family. Now, I don't condone tattoos, you know that, but I'm just telling you what he said. He said, they mean a lot to me about my family. He said, I look at this one, I think of my mother, and I remember how much I love her, and I remember what she means to me and who she is in my life. He said, I think of this, and I think of my brother and how he's my best friend. He went on and talked about each and every one of them. Oh, listen, friend, what the Lord is saying to all of His children in this passage is He says, there's no way that I'll ever, ever forget you. I have engraved you in the palms of my hand. I want you to understand, He says, these marks have significance. They mean something to me. They have meaning. But when I look at them, they remind me of my children and all they mean to me. When I look at them, they remind me of you, He says, and all you mean to me. It's a reminder of how I've sacrificed for them. It's a reminder of how I've suffered for them. It's a reminder of all I've done for them, and especially how much I love them. I've got the names graven, He says, in the palms of my hand. Oh, I wonder tonight. I wonder tonight, think about this. Man, I'm about to run. Think about this. I wonder, you know, Thomas wasn't there. They was meeting in the upper room, and Thomas missed church that night. Miss Jesus showing up. But Jim, I wonder. You remember He shows him His hands and His side. He says, except I thrust my hand in my finger in His side, and except I touch the nail prints in His hands. I wonder when Jesus reached out and said, Thomas, come on, show you something. I want to show you something. And he says, put your finger in my side. He said, come here, don't you put your finger in my hands. I wonder if when He reached out there, if Thomas saw His name. Oh, when he says that, when Thomas saw the nail prints in his hand, he says, my God, my Lord, and he falls to the ground. Oh, I wonder if he's seen his name. The hands of Jesus. You're here tonight feeling like nobody loves you, feeling like nobody cares, feeling like you don't have a friend in this world. Oh, listen, tonight there's an invitation for you and I in verse number 16. Thank God. He says, behold, you know what that means? Look. He says, look, I've engraved you in the palms of my hands. And tonight, if you're a child of God, I want you to understand, not because you ought to rejoice, not just because our name has been written in the book of life, but we ought to rejoice because our name's been written on the palms of his hands. And he'll never forget us. Every single day he sees those hands and he remembers you. He remembers me. This passage ought to bring comfort to each and every person who's saved by the grace of God tonight. Here Israel is going through a dark time because of their sin. They had been taken captive. It seemed that God had forgotten them. Look with me at verse number 14. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. And my Lord hath forgotten me. He goes on, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion? The son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. This ought to be a reminder to every one of us. Oh, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? The love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Well, the palms of his hands. And you know what my said? Or you know what my Lord said? He said, you're in my hand and I'm in the Father's hands. Woo! And no man will ever pluck him out of my Father's hands. When it seems we don't remember him, when it seems that he may not remember us. Thank God, I'm glad we're in the palms of his hands. Maybe you've heard the song recently. It says, there may come a time. We know dementia and Alzheimer's and all that stuff is becoming a big thing in our society. And I believe something in the water or something definitely going on. But anyway, dementia is a big thing. And there's a song out now that says, there may come a time when I won't remember him. But he will remember me. How's he going to remember? I'm in the palms of his hands. In the palms of his hand. Notice what he says. He says, I've graven thee. You see that, verse 16? I've graven thee. He didn't say, not name. Now our name's there. But he says, I've graven thee. Other words, all of you. Other words, all of our sin. All of our temptations, all of our faults, all of our failures, every single bit of what we are and who we are, in other words, every single thing about us. You know, the psalmist even proclaimed this. He says, my times are in thy hands. In other words, everything about him, he's saying, every circumstance that I have, everything I'll come into contact with, in other words, all of me, I'm in your hands. And while things may sometimes get out of our control and out of our hands, I'm glad tonight we serve a God who has the whole world in his hands. And I'm written right there in the palm. He's not only leads us by his hands, but he keeps us in his hands. We've been engraven in the palm of his hands. How in the world can any of us ever, ever say, Lord, have you forsaken us? Lord, have you left us? There's no person in this building. You be honest with God tonight that you wouldn't say that there's been times in your life that you felt like your prayers were bouncing off the ceiling and you felt like that God had just set you down the side somewhere. No doubt everybody in this room tonight, oh, if you'd be honest, you'd say there's been times in my life I just seemed I couldn't find God. Oh, even some of the best men of the Bible, Job, said, boy, I look forward and I look back and I turn to my left and the right and I can't find God. Oh, you know the conclusion he come to? He said, said, but he knoweth the way that I take. Boy, I might not be able to see him, but he sure does have me on his radar. I might not know where he is, but buddy, what I've learned in my years of serving God is there may be times in my life where it seems like he's went out to pasture and it seems like I don't know where he is, but thank God I've come to learn that somewhere standing in the shadows, you'll find God. Oh, it marks his identity. It's a memorial of his love, he said. They may forget their compassion, your mama. But he said, I never will. I've engraved you in the palms of my hands. Don't you notice the third thing? Not only these nail prints do they mark his identity, and they're a memorial of his love, but they merit his praise. Go with me to Revelations chapter 5. Revelations chapter number 5. I love this passage of Scripture. Revelations chapter number 5. You've got a scene in heaven. I want to look with you here at verse number 1 starting out. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, watch this, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Now, who in here tonight, y'all going to help me? Who in here tonight, well, glory to God, who in here tonight knows that if there's a lamb standing there in the portals of heaven, and the Bible says that the angel testifies that there's a lamb, John testifies, he says, I saw a lamb, and that lamb I saw, said, looked as if it had been slain. Who knows tonight, oh, listen, that if there's a lamb there in the midst of the throne of heaven, and it has the appearance as if it had been slain, that there's some marks on that lamb. There's something significant about that lamb. Oh, listen, friend, there's an appearance of something that proves, that shows that that lamb had been slain. Do you want to know tonight why we praise him? Do you want to know tonight why we worship him? Do you want to know tonight why we honor him? It's because, friend, when it's all said and done, he's the one and the only one who has the nail prints in his hands, and he has the scars to prove it. He's the one that stands in the midst of the throne as a lamb that has been slain. Notice with me verse number 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And it's evident by the nail prints in his hand, he's our Redeemer. He's our Justifier. He's our Savior. And he's worthy of our praise. Can I say to you tonight, he's worthy of our praise on Sunday night. Amen. He's worthy of our praise on Wednesday night. He's worthy of our praise on Monday morning. He's worthy of our praise every second of every day. The wounds in his hands merit his praise. You know what they tell us? He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. They sung a new song. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Why the wounded hands? Why'd God leave the wounds there? We see them mark his identity. What can you imagine when we stand before the one that has those nail prints in his hands? I want to tell you tonight that our lack of service, I'm saying our lack of soul winning, our lack of seriousness for the things of God. But when we stand before the one who has the nail prints in his hands and my name and your name written there, it'll matter then. It's going to matter then. It may not matter to you now. We're just floating through life. But it'll matter then. Oh, they mark his identity. They serve as a memorial of his love. He's written them on the palms, our names on the palms of his hands, and they merit his praise. Listen, there'll be no mistaking when we get to heaven who we ought to be worshiping. Praise God, he's got the scars to prove he's worthy. I don't know tonight who's here, and maybe somebody wants to come and tonight and thank him for knowing and for having that. People maybe don't feel like you got anybody else in your life. Maybe everybody else has died off or they've walked away and just seems like you're all alone. Thank God tonight you have the assurance. If God is your Savior, if he saved your soul and if you're a child of God, you have the assurance of knowing. He said, but I'll never forget you, and you're written on the palms of his hands, and no doubt you cross his mind constantly. Maybe you just want to come and say, thank you, Lord, for never forgetting me. Maybe somebody wants to come tonight and they want to just come and praise him because of who he is and what he's done and how he saved their soul. Maybe somebody needs to come tonight and say, Lord, I know your hands and I see how they mark your identity, and I believe you are who you say you are. I'm going to trust you as Lord and Savior. God will accept you tonight. You'll come to him. Maybe there's somebody that you know that needs to be saved. Folks, we need to be about the Master's business. We need to tell everybody we can about the Lord. We need to get everybody we can at church. You want to know, and you know this, but while we have the honest truth is, honestly, I do want to honor our first responders. I do. But more than that, you know what I want? I want them to get saved if they're not saved. The reason that we have anything and everything that we have, and we spend the money and we make the effort and we do it, not just so we can feel to build up a bunch of people. Oh, listen, no. It's so we can tell them about Jesus, the one who with the nail prints in his hands. While we stand for prayer tonight, whatever God spoke to you about, why don't you come? The wounded hands of the Lord Jesus. Oh, there's some significance in those hands. Those wounds are there for a reason. And we'll understand it when we see him face to face. While we sing. Come and pray. God will fill our building up for the first responders. Come and pray. Our missions conference out the top, and we can see 100-fold souls saved, our missionaries, by what we're able to do. Oh, come and lift it up to the Lord. Oh, God, please keep us near the cross. My glory ever. I know tonight we're singing in the cross, but I'm thinking about near the cross. You know, near the cross isn't a crowded place. Not a crowded place. You look at the last days when Jesus hung there on that cross. The Bible says all his disciples forsook him and fled. There stood only John and his mother and the Marys. Oh, listen, near the cross in a crowded place. You want to know why? Because it's a place of suffering sometimes. We don't want to suffer. It's a place of supplication. You watch Jesus, the closer he got to the cross, the more he began to pray. It's not a crowded place near the cross. I've heard people down through the years, and they'd say, "Boy, I wish other preachers and other folks, well, I wish I could preach like Brother So-and-so, or I wish I could sing like Brother So-and-so." But I know Brother So-and-so's lifestyle. I know how they lay on their face Saturday night, all through the night, wake up, big eyes swelled up, and get ready to come preach on Sunday morning. Oh, listen, you want some of that? It's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take being on your face some. Never cross it in a crowded place, friend. While we sing, why don't you come? And mercy found me, the bright and morning star sheds its rays around me. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Feel like you've been in church today? Amen. Amen. We'll be dismissed now. Word of prayer. God bless you.